Listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Bereft Hill Hardcore Asia. How's it going?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose, I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers, I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers, come one, come all, because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yes, that's right. You are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And, wow. I know some of you are probably mad at me last night because we had Dr. Ted on, who's a retired psychotherapist, and we started to get into his past a little bit, and just as we hit a juicy little tidbit, our guest had finally called in. So, I don't know how many of you still have blue balls, but we're going to get back into Dr. Ted's story tonight. And, of course, I still have Will Torbett here with us, and we have Bill the Butcher. So, Dr. Ted, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So just for those who don't know what I'm talking about, you didn't listen in last night. No, shame on you, first of all. And secondly, please go to the RBN's archives. Just type in the, and you should see the archive for the show and catch last night's show. So I do believe we left off with you talking about you moving things, being a driver, along with Bill.
True. Well, no, Bill and I were working for different people during the same period of time. During this period of time, Bill was working for the Dixie Mafia at one point, and he was working for he was working for people in the Dixie Mafia, and he was working for a group of investors who basically had criminal operations. But Bill didn't do anything criminal. Bill basically functioned as an enforcer and an accountant.
Oh, so I was right about that, huh?
yeah. And from time to time as a person who worked in security. Now, Bill's work in security is what got me to working for the trucking company, trucking/investigative agency in Seattle. And the way it happened, the way it came about was I worked for a man whose name is not well known today, but it was fairly well, it was a household name for a while. His name was Ian Smalley, and he and another Englishman named Oney Fitzgerald were arms salesmen. They were smugglers, and they among other things, they were at the root of the Iran-Contra controversy, moving some tanks and missiles and guns and ammunition into Iran. But that was certainly not all that they did. And one of the things that Ian did was, there wasn't anything criminal that Ian didn't like. And Ian was going to hit a poker game that belonged to a gentleman that Bill and I both knew quite well by the name of Bennett. And Bill and I knew Mr. Bennett and his two sons pretty well, and he ran the biggest poker game in the Tri-County area on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and there was just a whole lot of betting that was going on in the house during those poker games, depending on what season it was. And Oney wanted to hit that poker game, and when I found out where where it was, I decided I would not be a part of the operation because I knew that Bill would be there as security for the game, and I wasn't going to go into a room where Bill was going to be sitting with a shotgun and shoot it out with Bill. And I went through harrowing experience. I had a harrowing experience because Ian Smalley, Nor Orland Fitzgerald, I would keep wanting to call him Oni because that's what everybody called him, were violent men who did not like, who when they gave you an order, that they expected that order to be obeyed. And I had always done a good job for Ian and for Oni, done things for them that I certainly wouldn't do again in my lifetime. And when I said no, I went in to talk to Ian in his office, and there, and with Oni standing behind me, and I figured I was a dead duck. I thought they were I really thought they were going to kill me in that room. And what happened is Ian asked me. He said, "Tell me why you chose this life." And I said, "Because I want to be like you. I want to make a lot of money." Because at that time, that's what I wanted. I wanted to make a lot of money. And and Ian shook his head and said, you'll never be like me. You can't be like me, because if you were like me, it wouldn't matter if my friend was there, acting as a security person for the game. I would still go in and do it. I'd still go in and do the job." And what he wound up doing was giving me a referral to this lady in Seattle, and that's how it came to be that I went to Seattle and went to work. I don't want to name the agency, but an agency that had formerly been just a trucking agency, but when the owner of it died, his mobbed up brothers were going to take the agency over. And she hired a bunch of rowdy guys that basically were in the promise-keeping business. So I went into the promise-keeping business, and over a period of about 8 months, I went from being muscle to being talent. I was able to figure out ways to get people to keep their promises without hurting them physically. And That got me very far ahead, wouldn't you say, Billy? Wouldn't you say my advancement was rapid and high?
Yeah, you went the other way. Like when I went to work for Norman Wells and Norwell Corporation during the same time, which you haven't mentioned, I worked in various clubs, I'll call them clubs, and various enterprises in Killeen and everything. And I was a bag man. And a bag man is someone. We had several clubs and several dance halls and shooting galleries and all this stuff. And my job was to make sure that the money got into the bank vault that night. You know, they had a big chute. You pulled it out, and they had a big canvas bag, and you had your deposit slips and the money and all that in, and they'd drop it in there. And my job, I wore a long desert flaca. You know, look that up, fellas, flaca. I wore a long desert flaca, and under that flaca was a 12-gauge, 12 shotgun, and I carried a pistol. It was a Ruger Peacemaker, 357, and my job was to shoot anyone who approached the depositor as he approached the bank, okay? And I won't say what I did, but I will say I earned my money. I will say that and everything. So we were both working for the same type of industry, if you put it like that, and we both had the same idea, and Ted and I had made millions of dollars with Globo City. We had made a lot of money, and we had been overthrown by a group within the family, the alternative family, that just, I mean, we lost everything we had. Ted lost his family. I lost mine. We lost everything. So we became very vengeful. We became very hateful, if you want to say that and everything. But we were basically involved in stuff that involved a lot of gunplay, a lot of things that the civilized white folk don't want to talk about. But that's who we were. And we progressed to where we are today and everything. Your thoughts, Ted?
Well, I mean, looking at my own story, it, as far as Chuck Barris and the Gong from the Gong Show, his story about the CIA and all that goes, it's not like it wasn't like that. It was more like, let's say that you had made an arrangement with. I'll describe a hypothetical. Let's say you made a deal with a New Mexican legislator to vote a certain way on water rights because of a pig farm that you wanted to put in on some land that didn't have access. And so you pay him, and then when it came time for the vote, he stabbed you in the back. What I might have done would have been to have researched your life, gotten some information on researched the legislator's life, gotten the information that would be out there available to me because I could walk into call centers B. They'd give me a name tag, and then I could get this time and date to this time and date all of your public electronic records. So and plus I had access to other forms of information, informants, and so forth and so on. And I would find the place where you go and secretly take your dump. And I'd get a picture or two of you taking a dump there, and then let's just say your daughter was getting married about that time, and I just decided I'd put a couple of photographs in some wedding invitations that went out, and came to you and said, now if you don't pay the money back that was given to you, the rest of these photographs will be going out to the rest of the guests that have been invited.
Wow.
That kind of thing.
Now, I know people look at me like, you know, I'm this angel and this just super righteous activist, and I am. But I got a bit of a past, too. And no record, by the way. But that's because I was a cleaner. I didn't move bodies. No. Let me state this. I didn't move bodies. That's not what it was.
Right.
The word got around to me, and my friends, my crew, you know, corrupt cops did this, corrupt cops did that, and you know the scene. You know, things are being investigated. You know, things just happen. If it's a situation where we know the government did some screwed up stuff, police force, those houses, those apartments with the yellow ribbons surrounding them, the doors, those were my places of business. We went in, we cleaned up evidence. So,
right. You sanitized.
People, I have stopped several people from being set up for stuff they didn't do. So
well,
I don't mean to overshadow
well,
I can't remember the last time I kept the tag on my mattress, so.
Oh, no. There we go. That's a federal crime.
Yeah.
So I turn you in.
We are talking time here. So if you're if you're more interested in it, V, I've been writing this up. Billy has actually, I actually have been writing this up in the forms of Billy. You remember the names of them? The arms dealer.
Yeah. And you kept all of our stuff kind of clandestine in that. Yeah, that was really artful of you. I'm really proud of you as a writer.
But I wrote them up, and I didn't write them all up. I wrote some of them up and sent them out as podcasts. But there at the time, I think we had a kind of a lousy distribution system, and just didn't have the audience that we needed, and so I kind of put that project on hold. But if you're interested, I'll be happy to send you.
Well, the whole thing is with the TI community and the way that they have been subjected to what they've been subjected to. Now we have to weed out the nuts, and I'm going to be honest here, like the lady we had last night, everything. We've got to weed out the nuts, the people who don't know what they're talking about, and the people like Tom, who are truly targeted individuals. Okay. And I'll go back to one of my original statements. I like to shoot people. I really do. It's a whole lot easier than talking with them, okay? I'm just an old West Texas gunslinger. But no, really. These people, they take our victims, our targeted individuals, as beat down, and they can't do anything or anything. Ted and I went through this up in Salt Lake City. We went up there, and they thought we were a couple of doddering old men. And it didn't work out for them at all. Not at all. We took the thing to task, and we absolutely tore that stuff up. And you notice I'm not using bad language like our guest the other night. But we tore that stuff up because we absolutely, Ted and I, we don't play. We don't play at all. And we're old, and we know exactly what we're doing and everything. And when you attack a targeted individual who's truly targeted and everything, well, then you face us, and then you have a bad day, and then you don't go to heaven. Okay, you got
thoughts. That's what it is, and I didn't even know it back then so much. But I've been fighting for targeted individuals my whole life, even before I had to. Roll up in a van, wearing a ski mask and doing all this and that, picking up computers and things like that from these places, because I had a couple of people who were being set up with child pornography, for example. Feds put child pornography on a person that I actually knew and grew up with, and hung around 24/7. It didn't happen. That's just not the kind of person he was. And I was on his computer, so I know it wasn't on there. Got hit one time, and after he came out, got hit a second time. Before they could get that second time, we went and got those computers. So it's things like that. When the federal government wants to target you, I've been doing, I guess, this thing, even all the way back into high school, junior high. There's the bully that's pushing on these nerds, wanting to stuff in lockers. Guess what? When I saw that, the bullies were handled by me. So I've been doing this my whole life. So these are the kind of things that we need. Well, hold on. I believe we are going into commercial break. And yeah. I know we're probably scaring the hell out of Will right now. So if he's going to have some questions, I know he's going to have some questions coming up here. And
too late, Will.
We're going to go ahead and do a commercial break.
You'll be cool, Will. Segment. You'll be okay, Will. You're going to be okay. Take 10 deep breaths, man.
Yeah, the crown is mine. Yeah. The crown is mine.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back from commercial break. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Host V. Yes, and so we have Dr. Ted here with us. And I guess we're talking about our past a little bit here. And Ted, you I would have never guessed.
Oddly, I've never heard that before. usually when people meet me, they don't have any trouble believing it. But the thing is that I think that every man and you know, women are different than men, and they have their own roles that they play, but every man has a king in him. Every man has a warrior in him. Every man has a father in him. Every man has a brother in him and a son. And I have tried to, I made a conscious decision when Billy and I got robbed, because they did. They took our ass, our hats, and our cattle. And I made a conscious decision at that time that I was going to experience as much of life as I possibly could. And a lot of it's been good, and some of it hasn't been so great. I've spent time in a federal black hole. I've spent time sitting in front of federal judges. Not too long ago, I was on my way over to see Billy, and the FBI picked me up and took me back to the Justice Center and had a nice long talk with me.
Now, that talk wouldn't have anything to do with me, would it?
No. No, it did not. It had to do with an issue that we can't talk about because it's red hot. And you know, Billy and I would have sat here and talked to you about it for at length until it came out in the news. And when it came out in the news, I can tell you this: it involves our president and his campaign. And that's all. That seems almost like too much to say. But so beyond that, I won't give you any specific details. But when this became a red hot issue, I quit telling anybody. We had just, in fact, the reason the FBI had pulled me over and taken me in for questioning is because Billy and I had been two nights before at a lady's house who was part of a group of people who got the state of Iran to play nationwide on their national TV a Iranian translated version of an animated version of the film Pilgrim's Progress. So this in itself was a covert operation, and we had told her and her husband they were rabid Trump people. A story about me involving the president and his campaign. And 2 days later, as this was breaking in the news as a national story, I got picked up by the FBI and questioned of. And it's just a good thing that the president had fired everybody, and practically he had disrupted all operations at the FBI and Homeland Security. And so these were a couple of millennial, practically kids. And at the end of the exchange, they asked me some questions about an older thing involving Fast and Furious. And I referred them back to the federal judge who had already made a decision on it. And that was that. But so it hasn't all been great. And there have been, Billy will tell you, there's a couple of things that have happened that keep me up at night. But by and large, I'm satisfied that I have lived a very full life. And some of it has just been outside of what I guess people would call the norm.
I'm gonna inject here a little bit. Ted is the more moderate of us, okay? I'm not moderate. I'm more radical, okay? When I talk to these people, I let them know in no uncertain terms that I'm not going to put up with your nonsense. I will shoot you. I mean, I will. I'm going to lie to you. I'm not going to make it kind or gentle or politically correct. You mess with me, and if my solution is to shoot you, I will shoot you. Okay, you're a bunch of kids and everything, and you can't draw your guns faster than me, and I will freaking shoot you.
Bill, I know you're Bill the Butcher here, but I'm well trained, you know, military, and I prefer to use different tactics, but we'll get into that because I know we're going to commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey, do the uppercut again. Look at the uppercut. Look at the uppercut. Look at the uppercut. Look at the uppercut like this. Hey, do the uppercut again. Do the uppercut again. You're terrible. Like the worst thing in the world.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Yeah, so we're back from commercial break. This is Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, and I do believe we're getting a hardcore tonight. I think we're getting a double dosage of the Red Pill. I do know that I feel your sentiments there, Bill. It's just guns are great and all, and I am a red-blooded American, but I really like my enemies to take themselves down, and it's really not hard. It's really not hard, but let me say it's for me. It's if they want to open their mouths, for me, it's an ironclad rule. You know, these people want to do something, I'm going to hold them to it. Me, I can't be caught up in their law. I cannot be held for what I say because of the way things work. Okay? I don't bow down to your law, but they will have to be held for everything they say. And if it gets to a point where words aren't working, well, you are a bull of butcher, but I am very good with cutlery.
It's just like this. It's as simple as this. Okay. I have lost my entire family, my entire fortune. I have lost 3 mansions. I have lost everything to these people. Okay. And so I bring them into the arena. Okay. I bring them into the arena of where we are all working on. And yeah. And oh my God, it's so politically incorrect what you have said. Oh my God, what have you said? What I
said
is
you
hold
heat and preach nonviolence.
Yeah, what I know. I ain't no nonviolence. If you threaten my family or my friends or anyone I'm connected with, I believe in the gun. I'm sorry I said that. Who said that? Did I say that? Yeah. I believe in the gun. I believe in what we're doing. Okay? I believe in what we're doing. And I'm just that kind of guy. And Ted, you know, Ted, he comes on, and he's a clinical psychologist. He really is. I am not a clinical psychologist. I will shoot you in the head. That is my solution to all my problems. That's what I do. That's what I do. You know, it's just...
I'm sorry, but usually V has these quotes that are so poetic, but I think Bill wins today. I am not a clinical psychologist. I will shoot you in the head.
I thought, at least for myself here,
I'm always preemptively nonviolent, but I will do whatever it takes in self-defense. And, you know, you guys bring up an interesting point. When people start passing that line, you have to check them, you know, because these people are habitual line crossers. And if we don't check them, they're going to keep trying to cross that line. So it's always good to be peaceful, but to have that self-defense for sure. And
Will, did you just use a Charlie Murphy line?
Yeah, I sure did. I'm glad you recognize that.
But no. Ted and I, he brought our history up, and that's our history, and we're not going to lie. We're not going to falsify what we are, what we've been, and everything. We're not going to do that, but this is good for the TI community. When we went up to Utah, they expected a couple of doddering old men, okay? That's what they expected, and what they got was decidedly different, okay? And like I said, and I'll repeat, and I'll shut up, okay? I like to shoot people. I really do. I like to shoot people. It's a whole lot easier than talking with them, okay?
Okay, for you video gamers out there, I don't know if any listens to this show, but one of my favorite games, Lynch and Kane. Bill and Ted, you remind me of Lynch and Kane. If anybody wants to check out that video game. But I want to talk to Dr. Ted here real quickly, because your history is so extensive. Now, you said you worked for some agencies, but I know that you have worked for the agency at some capacity. Does any of your story, do you want to go into any of that?
Well, I let me just give you the beginning and the end real easy. And that is that during the Bush administration, and much more during the Obama administration, they began to piece law enforcement up. They began to, at the federal level, they began to break it up. And when they passed the Homeland Security Act, what happened is that a lot of the work that had been done by professional law enforcement was now being done by given out as contracts to Wells Fargo, Pinkertons, and also some of it was given. I mean, it was given out to private investigative agencies based on their track record, and our agency got some of that work. So undoubtedly, one operation in Honduras comes to mind. There was some agency work, but I couldn't tell you that I ever met anybody from the agency, because all my communications were done either via the bulletin board that I worked off of, or phone calls with people that I knew inside my own agency.
Okay. Keep it real impersonal. Just doing ops. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
And I've gotten backhanded by them too, over that Fast and Furious thing. I got backhanded by, and it was by the agency. I mean, when they brought me back into this country, the FBI took over, and it was a mess. And I would say, wouldn't you say, Billy, that was pretty much the end of my career in that capacity?
Pretty much. You walked away from it at that point, and we had everything we were doing was strolling in the wind. But we couldn't tell everyone what we were really doing. And even now, V, we can't tell you everything we did, because a lot of it, well, frankly, the statute of limitations has run out. I'll be honest with you.
They never run out.
It never run. No. Some of the stuff we did.
The bounties may never run out. So yeah.
It never runs out. Well,
speaking of bounties,
bounties.
well, hold on. Speaking of bounties, there was a message put out. Because once we got the news that Ted was having heart issues, having issues with his pacemaker, Anthony put it out all over the web that you were having these issues and that you were probably being assassinated, and for everyone to remember Dr. Ted, because he was coming into the TI community to help. Now, the information I got from Bill seemed as though, right along with it, that your situation started getting better. You started getting healthier almost immediately.
That's true.
These people don't like the light shown on them. Okay? Now, was there some tampering done with your pacemaker?
I have no idea. I'll tell you what's interesting, and I hadn't really thought about it, but it dovetails right into what you were saying, and probably I'm going to have to do a little research too. Now, just to satisfy my own curiosity, but shortly after this period of time you're talking about, where my condition was being made known to other people, and I started getting better. Shortly after that, my heart doctor disappeared, And they gave me a new heart doctor. So I don't know. I mean, that's pretty interesting now that I think about it. I just never did connect any. I never connected those two things together.
You watched my documentaries. Now, do you remember the part where I was talking about the biotelemetry with the pacemakers and the government and the hospitals having full monitoring and control of medical devices?
Some of the best work was right there in that piece you're talking about.
People need to understand, they want any way to be able to remote assassinate. And I believe that they were trying to do that to you. So that is why we had to get the word out.
Pacemakers are a great way to kill people.
Well, let me say something here. Everything. Okay, if I find out that someone is trying to kill my best friend through this kind of nonsense,
shoot him in the head
immediately, and I will shoot their children in the head, and I will shoot their wife in the head, and I will shoot their pets in the head, and I won't think a thing about it. It doesn't bother me at all. I have no conscience. If you hurt my friend, you're dead. You're freaking dead. It's as simple as that. And B, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. They need to understand the fear. They understand the horror of what they're doing. You know, you're attacking people who are not hurting you, who people who are out there trying to search for the truth. You hurt my friend, I'm going to hurt you, and I will hurt your 3-year-old granddaughter. I will hurt everything about you, and I will horrify you. I will absolutely horrify you. Your thoughts?
Well, these people manslaughtered Anthony Thompson's children. This is why you see this man on a rampage every day online. This is why he put our media together. This is everything that we've done. Anthony Thomas data mined the NSA. Okay? This is why we have what we have, the knowledge that we have, and of course we figured out most of it too. You want to attack a man's family? And no, I mean, it wasn't like some killer stuff, but manslaughter. You know, you're going to take a man's child away and put them in a position where they're going to die. You're going to put a campaign, a psyop, and put one of their hackers onto his ex, who's pregnant with his child, and convinces her to terminate the pregnancy. You know, this is the kind of stuff the shadow government does. And this is exactly, you know, I know it seems like a roundabout way, but, you know, we're all going for blood.
Well, you know, and just to play the devil's advocate, again, I'll reiterate that I do not believe in any preemptive violence. But, I mean, if you take a look historically, this country was started over a 3% tax on tea. We're taxed upwards of 30 to 40%. Family courts is kind of similar to what you're alluding to. They can just go without a warrant, take your kids, and then make sure legally they take them, quote-unquote legally, without a judge or a jury. We're $22 trillion in debt. We're taxed up the yin-yang. We're in the longest, most illegal war in U.S. history. Back in the day, at least in the Vietnam era, people would be out in the streets marching. So, I mean, we are up to our neck with corruption and taxation. But I still believe in peaceful answers. But, I mean, because I think part of that is, too, is because not everybody is awake to who the people that are really the problem. And that could cause some tension.
I think
in my experience,
stands out in stark disagreement or opposition to what you just said, though. Well, those people had to come out of their homes and threaten violence to the governor before he would leave.
Now, Dr. Ted, in my experience with psychopaths, when it comes to dealing with psychopaths, they have what's called the reptilian brain. Okay, these are your lower vibrational energy people. This is the lower thought process. The only thing these people understand is consequences. You can tell them, you can keep telling them, but when they start losing theirs, then they start waking up. That's my experience, anyways.
Definitely, psychopathy is related to the amygdala and what has been called the reptilian brain.
Yes.
And it's because, and we understand so little of it because we place no value on. In fact, I would dare say that less than 10% of Americans even know what emotional intelligence is, much less have any understanding of how it works in their own lives and the lives of other people.
NSA has something called the Love Int, or Love Intelligence, where they're spying on your relationships, and they will purposely send people to break up homes. They use honeypots and things of this nature. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Reminds me of the guy that was running for president, not Chet Edwards, but... was it Chet Edwards? John Edwards. John Edwards. There's no doubt that woman who looked just like his wife, or very much like his wife, and the type of woman that he was consistently dating, and she got pregnant, and John Pecker, of all people, the guy that runs the National Enquirer, runs a story on it, and now John Edwards is no longer. He would have been president, and so yes, absolutely. And the police use these tactics all the time. They know just exactly how to manipulate what they have control over to break a person down. I'm thinking right now about that guy in upstate New York, that Jamaican soccer coach. You know that story?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. When they made him strip down naked and they took pictures of him, detailed pictures of his body as he was naked, and sent him out of the interrogation room with nothing but a paper, but a paper suit on. He had to leave everything he had, his phone, his keys, his wallet, everything behind. He left with nothing but a paper suit. That experience broke him down. And when they started tampering with his relationship, it broke him down. And that's you're absolutely right. It's astonishing, isn't it? Lengths people will go to, but they're lengths that I've gone to, and I understand. I'd like to say one thing in all of it, and that is that I feel that I have moved on beyond what we're talking about in my own life. I feel that I'm ready for a life where I write. I feel like I've lived this life. It's been full of experiences that are. You're right. It's a lot of stuff compressed into one life, and I want to write about it. A lot of it all has to do in fiction, and I do in fiction. But I for my own part, I'm like Will. I think that's why I got ahead as quickly as I did in the agency that I did. Was because I could figure out other ways to pressure people into keeping the promises that they'd forgotten that they'd made. And sometimes I got twofers. Sometimes I got to knock out, corrupt sheriffs and cartel guys at the same time. So I think we're all four of us civilized guys who have each of us had our own experiences that involved sometimes excessive force, but certainly force and violence. And we learned certain things from that, and we've moved on in our lives to wherever it is that we are right now.
Absolutely. And Will,
Not me.
Protest. I think that's good. that we got to put that baby face to good usage up there. Great poster boy.
Not me.
He leaves not a lot me. Of empty-headed people
I,
behind.
Ken and I disagree on this, but I truly believe. When they see death at the doorstep, they will come to their milk. And that's my final statement on this project.
Okay. Well,
I'd like to
wind down to the end of the show, but yes, Ted, some final remarks.
My final remarks have to do with your guest tomorrow. We're going to have...
We don't have a guest tomorrow.
Yes, you do.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Tom is your guest tomorrow.
Yes! Tom. Yes, absolutely. You're right.
Okay.
I want the weekend to be here so bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. You'll be glad you waited one day for it after you do the show with Tom. You really will. He is a treasure. An absolute find. This show that you do with him tomorrow is the beginning of something. This guy is capable of creating a foundation for inquiry. Just his knowledge base is astonishing, and I want to thank you for putting me in touch with him. He's a listener of the
Republic Broadcast Network. So our smart listeners here on this network, I mean, we have an amazing opportunity with anyone who wants to listen in and do some activism. Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they're as good as him. I'd like to meet, if we had three guys like him, you could probably.
Okay, I think we lost his audio. But, yeah, so we're going to talk about, I believe, pollution, emissions, EPA, these sort of things. And I don't know, Will, do you have any experience with this subject?
Well, I would just say that the EPA, I believe it was last year, the year before, they actually polluted a river far worse than anybody else, any, you know, regular citizens or anybody, and they're doing far worse damage to the environment. They're supposed to be protecting it. And what you see is a revolving door with all these agencies and private corporations, whether it's the FDA, EPA, or so forth. And, I mean, what happens is you got the roosters watching the hen house or the fox watching the hen house. I'm not too familiar with that particular one there, but that's what happens every single time. And the people that are charged to do the protection of something, and I'll bring it back to DCYF or CPS, here in Rhode Island, 20 to 25 kids go missing a day, kids are pimped out, and kids are dying in DCYF care, and that is the institution responsible for protecting our children. And they're doing even worse than the bad people that they're taking them from. So it's just another case in another sector.
And on that note, Will, for those episodes that we do, we're talking about CPS, will you email them the links to the show?
Sure, absolutely.
Like all of them, to let them understand that they're being talked about, they're being watched?
Yeah, well, of course, sure.
People, that's what we need from you, the listeners. You hear a subject on the show, there is an agency that you think should have knowledge of what we're talking about, please let them know that, yes, they are being watched. Nothing they're doing is real cloaks and daggers, especially when I got spotlight on them. You know, there is something bigger than the evil eye, and that is the public eye. Is bigger and more powerful. That's why they want us staring at the idiot box. That's why they want us, you know, at football games and just total distraction from what's going on in the world. And so we're coming down to the end of the show, and I want to say this is the Redfield Hardcore Radio Show. I'm Host V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king, so educate yourself.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.